From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asked Papua MSMEs to use business identification numbers to bolster business capital. Minister Erlangga Hartarto says private sector has essential role in improving economy. Now the news in detail, read by Steve. President Joko Widodo has asked micro, small, and medium enterprises actors in Papua to use their business identification numbers, or NIBS, in a bid to access people's business credit and strengthen their business capital. Also reported by Antara, he made the remarks at an event held to disperse the business identification number to 2,700 individual small and micro enterprises in Jayapura District, Papua on Wednesday. Papua has become the first province outside Java region to provide the business identification numbers to small and micro players. Currently, the micro loan interest rate is subsidized by the government, while the customers only charge 3% interest. Still, he appealed to the micro, small, and medium enterprises actors to be careful when applying for bank loan, saying they must consider the ability to repay the loan to avoid legal risks, which could hurt their business. The private sector plays an essential role in realizing a better economy. This was stated by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, at the recent 70th anniversary commemoration of the Indonesian Employers Association, as reported by Antara. In addition to issuing a policy to push short-term economic recovery, the government has also promulgated a medium to long-term structural reform policy through the Job Creation Law and electronic business licensing services, including making efforts to encourage the downstreaming of commodities to boost industrial added value. Minister Hartarto also conveyed in an official statement on Wednesday that through this policy, it is hoped that competitiveness and ease of doing business in Indonesia can be improved. For the effectiveness of this reform agenda to be successful, the government hopes for support and cooperation from all parties, including from the private sector, the community, and the related stakeholders. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Minister Teten Masduki, has said that his side is supporting the entry of Papua micro, small, and medium enterprises into the digital ecosystems. One form of this support has been the provision of assistance through the Integrated Business Service Center for Cooperatives and MSMEs. As reported by Antara, after inaugurating the Papua Cooperatives and MSMEs Integrated Business Service Center in Mandala Village on Wednesday, Minister Masduki pointed out that Integrated Business Service Center have an essential role in assisting MSMEs so that their products can be marketed either through e-catalog of the government or e-commerce. He further explained that the goal is that Papua and MSMEs products can enter a wider market through the digital market. Thus, the government is encouraging the Integrated Business Service Center to continue to assist the MSMEs to enter the digital ecosystem. Indonesia and Argentina explored opportunities for cooperation in information and communication technology ahead of the G20 Digital Economy Ministers Meeting, or DEM, in Badung Bali on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara, the exploration of cooperation was marked by a bilateral meeting between Indonesia's Communication and Information Minister Johnny G. Plate and Argentina's Secretary of State for Public Innovation, Micaela Sanchez Malcolm. Minister Plate informed in a statement released on Wednesday that with this cooperation, Indonesia has the potential to connect East Asia, South Asia, Europe, and the Middle East, China, Japan, Hong Kong, as well as California. The DEM is a part of the Sherpa track of the G20 Indonesia's forum and has been organized to follow up the negotiation result of the Digital Economic Working Group. Digital Economy Ministers' meeting will be held in Bali from September the 1st until the 2nd. Southern Chinese tech hub Shenzhen tightened COVID-19 curbs as cases continued to mount on Thursday, with large events and indoor entertainment suspended for 3 days in the city's most populous district of Bawan. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, at least half of the Shenzhen's 10 districts, home to more than 13 million of the city's residents, have now ordered blanket closures of entertainment venues and halted or reduced restaurant dining. Officials urge residents not to leave the city unless on the urgent matters in a statement issued late on Wednesday. Education authorities have postponed the start of the new school semester, which was largely planned to begin on Thursday. European Union foreign ministers have agreed to suspend a visa agreement with Moscow, making it harder for Russian citizens to obtain entry to the bloc, as reported by BBC.com. Ukraine and some member states had called for a blanket ban, but others like France and Germany were opposed. More than a million Russian citizens have traveled to the EU since the invasion of Ukraine in February. Several Eastern EU countries which border Russia are expected to improve further restrictions. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Klushko said the EU was shooting itself in the foot and the move would not go unanswered. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba criticized the decision as a half measure. Russia has completely halted gas supplies to Europe via a major pipeline, saying repairs are needed. As reported by BBC.com, the Russian state-owned energy giant Gazprom stated the restriction on the Nord Stream 1 pipeline would last for the next 3 days. Russia has already significantly reduced gas exports via the pipeline. It denies the accusations that it had used energy supplies as a weapon of war against the Western countries. The Nord 1 pipeline stretches 1,200 kilometers under the Baltic Sea from the Russian coast near St. Petersburg to northeastern Germany. It opened in 2011 and can send a maximum of 170 million cubic meters of gas per day from Russia to Germany. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yeah. Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria hopes Indonesia-Africa bilateral relations will improve. Listeners, a professional beauty exhibition was held at the Gallagher Convention Center in Johannesburg, South Africa, from 28 to 29 August 2022. Hundreds of company outlets from South Africa and abroad promoted a variety of beauty products to thousands of beauty activists who have flooded the venue since it was opened. Indonesia was represented by 5 beauty product companies. Their presence could not be separated from the initiative and active role of the Indonesian Trade and Promotion Center, ITPC Johannesburg, in collaboration with the Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria. This event aims not only to bring together beauty business activists such as spa owners, but also to present opportunities for practitioners in the medical beauty field to meet. They met in conferences on the sidelines of exhibitions as well as business seminars as a platform for beauty business owners to learn new trends and share new ideas which can then be applied for business development. The Indonesian Chart Affairs of at Antrim in Pretoria, Victor J. Sambuaga, in his remarks before the official opening of the Indonesian booth, said that he welcomed the participation of the Indonesian companies in this quite prestigious event. He added that bilateral relations between Indonesia and South Africa are very good but need to be further improved, such as trade through beauty and body care products, which were recently done. As Sambuaga said, Director of ITPC Johannesburg, Tony Hendriawan, also stated that the beauty product companies from Indonesia at this event could increase the penetration of Indonesian products in the South African market and the surrounding areas. The trade relations between South Africa and Indonesia from 2019 to 2021 was in a positive trend. The trade value increased 37% from $1.99 billion in 2019 to $3.76 billion in 2021. The value, as seen, is still relatively small compared to the existing trade potential. More specifically, in the field of beauty, the export value of Indonesian products to South Africa increased by 11% from 2018 to 2020, which reached from $1.16 million in 2018 to $1.3 million in 2020. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on September 1, 1923 about earthquake in Kanto, Japan. The Kanto earthquake with a magnitude of 7.9 struck the Tokyo-Yokohama metropolitan area at noon on September 1, 1923. The death toll from the earthquake was estimated to exceed 140,000. Hundreds of thousands of houses were destroyed by earthquake shocks or suffered fires as a result of the earthquake. The earthquake also caused a tsunami that reached a height of 12 meters in Atami in Sagami Bay, which destroyed 155 houses and killed 60 people. We move to the event on September 1, 1961, about the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement. The first high-level conference of the Non-Aligned Movement, NAM, in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, was held from 1 to 6 September 1961, based on the Bandung Principle. It was at this first conference that the Non-Aligned Movement officially established. The Bandung Principles were the result of the Asia-Africa Conference meeting, which was held in Bandung, East Java, from 18th to 25th April 1955. Countries that did not side with the particular bloc declared their desire not to get involved in the East-West ideological confrontation. The founders of this movement were five world leaders: Josip Broz Tito, President of Yugoslavia; Sukarno, President of Indonesia; Gamal Abdel Nasser, President of Egypt; Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, Prime Minister of India; and Kwame Nkrumah, President of Ghana. We end today's history with the event in 1963 when Bogor Agricultural Institute was established. Bogor Agricultural Institute originated from several secondary and higher education institutions in agriculture and veterinary medicine which existed in the early 20th century in Bogor, namely Middelbare Landbouw School, Boitzorg Agricultural High School, Middelburg Bosbouw School or Boitzorg Forestry High School, and Nederlandse Indische Verenigde School or Dutch East Indies School of Veterinary Medicine. Before 1963, the institute was a faculty of agriculture at the University of Indonesia. On September 1, 1963, the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, laid the first stone for the construction of the campus, and this marked the inauguration of the Bogor Agricultural University as an independent university. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Berharap temukan cintamu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta waktu pertama melihat melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda tiangkaku akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu.
Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda
you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and dvinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The government of Canada sent funds for peatland protections in South Sumatra. The aid is a support for Indonesia, which is trying to reduce climate change impact. Head of Development of the Embassy of Canada, Kevin Tokar, said that Canada is committed to donating 190 billion rupiah for better land management in three provinces, namely South Sumatra, South Sulawesi, and East Nusa Tenggara. After a public consultation of South Sumatra Peatland Ecosystem Protections and Management Plan, RPPEG, in Palembang on Monday, Kevin said that South Sumatra is the second biggest region for peatland ecosystem in Indonesia. In South Sumatra, the aid program from Canada is partnering with World Agroforestry Indonesia, ICRAF. According to Kevin, Indonesia must fight to fulfill its commitment in reducing climate change impact, one of which is by managing the peatland sustainably. The program also invites farmers to implement a better agricultural management, such as Sustainable Landscape for Climate Resilience Livelihoods or Land for Life project run by ICRAF in some regions in South Sumatra. The aim of Land for Lives is to improve the gender-sensitive landscape management, food security, livelihoods, and local economy that is resistant to climate change, mainly for vulnerable groups including women and girls in Indonesia. Therefore, Canada also supports the RPPEG document for sustainable peatland management by Indonesia from national to regency or city level. South Sumatra's peatland restoration expert team member Shafrul Yunardi said, from half million hectares of peatland in South Sumatra, 40% of it is degrading. Peat forest opening was done along with population growth, which resulted in a lack of production land. Production activity in the peatland is potentially causing land and forest fire.
Bila waktu bisa kembali, Seharusnya kita berdiri hadapi seadanya. Coba berpikir dan pahami.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Sila Kupang is a combined art among sintren, lais or male sintren dancers, and kuda kepang. It is said that Sila Kupang dance performance is believed to bring rain during a long dry season. Sila Kupang is a typical art from Cikendung village, Pulau Sali district, Lepamalang Regency. It is played for about an hour by 10 dancers consisting of 8 female dancers and 2 male dancers. The average age of dancers is around 13 years. The dancers in this art must be virgins. If she is not a virgin anymore, the attraction in this art will not run well. Sila Kupang art performance are also accompanied by the sound of gamelan and Javanese songs sung by sinden. Sila Kupang shows begins by inserting one of the dancers in a bamboo cage wrapped in a black cloth. Usually in less than 5 minutes in a narrow cage, these dancers will change costumes. The change of costumes, which take place fast, makes the audiences amazed, especially if you see the attractions of the dancers after getting out of the bamboo cage. The dancers will seem to lose consciousness, but they are still attractive in playing the Silakupang dance. In addition to showing the magic of changing costumes and making up for Sintren and Lies players, Silakupang also presents quite thrilling actions for the audience. One of them is when the handler plays a whip to tell the kuda lumping dancers to move freely and wildly without rhythm. Now, Silakupang is an art that has been passed down from generation to generation through the ancestors of Chikandung village. This art is performed during a long dry season, and now it has become a Pemalang tourism product that can be displayed at any time.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, Miscellany for today highlights Sekaten Solo 2022. Sekaten Solo event will be held again in three places, namely South Square, North Square, and Pagelaran for 1 month from September 16, 2022 to October 16, 2022. The annual event was previously absent for 2 years to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Sekaten Solo is an annual event which has been regularly held in Solo and Yogyakarta since the 15th century. This event is a tradition carried out to commemorate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. In the implementation of Sekaten Solo, a night market is usually held for a whole month. Afterwards, there will be a Grebek event of Maulid Prophet in the form of a mountain carnival, which takes place at the highlight of the event. Not just a celebration, it turns out that Sekaten Solo also has its own history, especially for the spirit of Islam in Central Java. This tradition is used by Bali This tradition is used by Wali Songo to attract people's attention to Islam. Sekaten was believed to be a combination of art and dakwah because through this event, the community was introduced to Islam. At the time, many people liked gamelan instruments. So, this art performance was always held on the day of the Sekaten. The highlights of the Sekaten ceremony will begin with the Mios Gongso ritual. Mios Gongso is a ritual to welcome the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is marked by the release of heirloom gamelan to the great mosque. The gamelan is sacred one belonging to the palace, namely the gamelan of Kiai Guntur Madu and Kiai Guntur Sari of Pagongan. This gamelan is cleaned first before being paraded to the great mosque of Solo. As long as the gamelan is outside and placed in the great mosque, it will be played. The highlight of the event is the Grebek Maulud ceremony, which is the release of gulungan or a collection of various types of food arranged like a mountain. The Sekaten ceremony ends with the returns of the Sekaten gamelan. That's miscellany.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, this time we're going to talk about a song by an actress and singer Desi Ratnasari. One of her most known hit was Tenda Biru or The Blue Tent, released in 1996. The song is about a woman who was betrayed by her lover. Her lover suddenly got married to another woman. She knew about the wedding accidentally when she passed by her lover's house. In front of her lover's house, there was a blue tent and a young coconut leaf. In Indonesia, some people hold their wedding receptions at home and use a blue tent. Then, they will hang a young coconut leaf at the end of the street to tell people there is a wedding being held. Well, listener, here is Tenda Biru by Desi Ratnasari.
Sengaja lewat
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Langit seakan tak biru lagi. sepi. Beribu malam aku tangisi, mengalun sepi menyiksa hati.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.